Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. And you may want to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. God has, throughout the ages, has given light of the gospel progressively. Amen. And God has shown who he is to humanity, even though it's fallen and sinful, but God has progressively given light of salvation, light of hope, light of future. Man, and I want to talk to you about that this morning, called progressive light. And let's look at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, tells also that Christ here called the Word in Christ, in chapter 1 of John, refers to him also God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation of the world. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We're so blessed to have your presence here. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray that your word, God, will do the work that you intended it to do in the life and the heart of each of us. Anoint your servant to speak. Anoint us all to hear and receive what you have for us, God, today. Lord Jesus, I pray your name be glorified and magnified above all. And when this service is over, we'd see no one but Christ, him crucified and risen, resurrected and returning. Give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Progressive light. Christmas is about God bringing spiritual light into the world. I know we're not there yet. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "What day is Christmas on?" I said, "25th. They want to know if it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday anyway. But Christmas really is about God bringing spiritual light into a world that is dark with sin. And it is God's concern about lost humanity. And it's God's concern about eternal souls. And God could easily, after the first sin, have shut the door to there being any plan of redemption whatsoever, but God did not. God cares for humanity, you and I, who were created in his likeness and image. And so, when we talk about light, God gives spiritual light because he's interested in you and I. He's interested in humanity. And spiritual light entered the world through the birth of Christ into humanity, although spiritual light came to humanity through God revealing himself to others, such as Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, of Noah, and Abraham, others. But full revelation of spiritual light came when the Son of God became the Son of Men, so that the sons of men could become children of God through faith. And Jesus said in one place, John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world." And so Jesus, by saying "I am," means that he was not bragging on himself. He said, "I am God who is bringing light to you in the world." So to be the "I am" was to make him equal with God the Father in heaven, which he is. Amen. And so we see here that light is something that progresses. Amen. Matter of fact, light actually means the absence of darkness. I thought that would just
give you that great revelation there. That's really what it means. Some places in Scripture, it means absence of darkness. Okay.
But as we see that the earth in its original, before God created or give the creation that it's listed here in Scripture in Genesis, that the earth was in a state of disorder and confusion, complete chaos. The Bible says it was without form and void and darkness, not light, but darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so we know that the world was here, amen, but it was not inhabitable till God got through with it, at least in the sense that it was created here in Genesis. I know there's other ways that people think there was a earth before the earth that we know that's in Genesis, and that and there's a difference between chapters, verses 1 and 2 here, and I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other thing to lecture over or to talk about, but I won't talk about it today. But God brought this world that we live in from chaos to order because it was dark and it was void. It was without anything. It didn't have light. It didn't have anything. And until Jesus came along, until God brought spiritual light into this world, mankind was without order. And so a world today that did not have if it did not have the light of Christ shining in it, it would be a world of complete chaos. It would be a world that was completely out of order, without form and void. And that's the way people's lives are that don't have Christ today. They become eventually without form, without purpose, without form and void. And much of our world is that way. And I can tell you, as soon as the church is raptured out of here and God pours out his judgment on the world for 7 years of tribulation, it will be out of order. And the only order that we have today is because God gave order to creation. And the only reason that you have order in your life because God gave it. Amen. But from chaos as it was to order, this is the way a life without Christ is today, without order. And without God here, there's no explanation of evil things, mistreated people, starving people, broken relationships, a broken world, spiritually fallen. Something sinful humanity cannot fix, cannot put back together. There's no way mankind can restore the original creation that was completely without sin and had no sin in it. And all that happened, you know, we want to blame it on people. Well, you know, whenever you're really hurting and you don't understand things, you pick somebody to blame things on. If it really wasn't for this one or that one, you know, politicians are good at it, if there is good in that. And anyway, but Adam and Eve sinned. They had perfect, unbroken relationship with God, friendship with God. They talked to God probably as literally as you and I are talking today. But yet sin separated that, and when Adam and Eve sinned, they fell, they lost, completely died in their relationship with God. They remained physically alive for a number of years, but they died spiritually in their relationship with God. It would never be the same. And therefore, inherent sin nature was given to every person that would be born into humanity afterwards. So, a person without Christ is without form and void in that sense. We see today that evil is in our world. There's no question about that. But in the idea of strong Islamic faith, that family members are executed who abandon Islam, usually for Christianity. And so that to them is the right thing to do, is to kill a family member that converts from Islam to Christianity or abandons Islam completely. But let me tell you something, friend. It is God's will for us to abandon everything except Him, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, mankind cannot fix that. It takes God to fix that. Thankfully, there are numerous people, wonderful peoples, that have been converted from Islam when they saw the truth of Jesus Christ, been born again. We have missionaries tell us stories all the time of people who have been converted from these types of religions to the one true and holy God, not just Islam, but all false religions in the world. And all of them are false except Christianity, and it's not a religion. It's a relationship with God. And so We know that it takes the master carpenter, Christ, to put things back together, and I can tell you he can fix hearts, souls, and lives. Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and he returned in the power of the Spirit, and he stood and told them why he had come, why God had sent a light into this world. He said, I am anointed. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Later on, one day, he'll fulfill the rest of that verse from Isaiah that says, the day of the vengeance of our God. That's until Jesus returns and raptures his church away. But I'm thankful that God can set a life back in order, and that's what Jesus did. He went throughout all the villages and the towns preaching the gospel, preaching the good news that you were born that way, but you don't have to die that way. You were born without spiritual light. You didn't have much light along the way, but I am come here to give you light. Hallelujah. And God brings light of salvation to humanity's chaos. And God promises light of salvation to all people. Number of 100 years before Jesus came to this world, God, by his Spirit, spoke to the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Isaiah 60:2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." God brought life into the world and intended always to. Praise God. Without God, mankind remains spiritually empty, without purpose, without meaning, without hope, without life. It would be pretty sad if it wasn't for Christ that came. I mean, life would just, you just get old and die, and that happens anyway physically, but you would have no eternal thing to look forward to. I'm glad for eternal life, that it doesn't end. We are eternally blessed people of God. We will dwell with him forever and ever in his love and his holiness and his righteousness in a place where there's no sin, sorrow, sickness, or death. God has a wonderful, not just a plan, but something that will surely come to pass for those who love him. The eternal God is our refuge. Praise the Lord. Without Christ, we're looking for eternal destruction, eternal loss, eternal death. But because of Calvary, we're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. And so we see here, when if we look at the progression of light, we've got to talk about darkness first. I know you can't wait till I get to the light. I'll be there in a minute. Stay with me. But darkness in Scripture is a symbol of evil and wrong. Where there is no spiritual light, disorder, chaos, no hope of love, life, happiness, or order of any kind is seen. We can see this in people's lives. We can see it in societies. We can see it in governments and places of the world where there is absolutely no fear, no reverence for God, no respect for God whatsoever, or no revelation of true spiritual light. Where there is no spiritual light is just chaos and disorder. And much of our world today still lies in darkness. Thank God, through the preaching of the gospel, it's going forth. People are being saved, yes, but it won't be until God steps from eternity into time, which he did in Christ, but makes this world eternal and a new heaven and a new earth, that we'll see complete, full, only righteousness and spiritual light. But Jesus came into a world of spiritual darkness. Jesus came into a world that had religion, and all the world has religion. You know, we live in a praying world. They're not all praying to God the Father. They're not all praying to Jesus Christ. They're praying to some God of some kind somewhere, some image of some kind. But we are far from a world that's praying to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, through Jesus Christ, the true creator of the heaven and of earth. And people are in darkness when sin is tolerated at the church level. When sin isn't called by name. When sin isn't preached against, ignored, or has an unbiblical explanation to make sin more acceptable. And that happens in our lifetime. When gay lifestyle is called an alternative lifestyle, when drunkenness is called social drinking, man, you want me to go further down? Amen. People make a spiritual side of everything and try to legalize everything. Let me tell you something. God is not going to change his mind about what he said sin was in the Bible. Amen. All ungodliness, unrighteousness, I don't care what society makes it, sin is still sin in the sight of God. And God loves people so much, he wants to deliver them from the power, the penalty of sin. That's God loves you. Amen. And does not wish for you to be destroyed by sin. God wishes to revive you, restore you to fellowship and relationship with him. And God is not happy when anybody dies without him. God is not happy when anybody misses heaven. I heard a preacher of God. This has been many years ago, so you probably can't identify him. That helps me. And you. But I heard a preacher say, I just can't wait till the day, this is going to date us a few years, when God picks up and drops off Madeline Murray O'Hare in the lake of fire. My friend, that's not the love of God. God didn't wish her to go to hell. God didn't wish anybody to go to hell. God loves everybody just the same as he loves you and I, regardless of how lovely we were before we were saved. And none of us were lovable except by God before we're saved. And so God cares and God loves. And the reason God calls sin by its name, because he wishes to keep people from living a life that will be destroyed by sin. And you say, well, God is kind of jealous, isn't he? Yes, he's a jealous God. Not sinfully jealous, but righteously jealous. Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and 5 says, I am the Lord your God. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who follow me. Exodus 34, 14, you shall worship and you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. That comes straight from Scripture. And so God is not jealous in the sense that sinful people are. But God is jealous because God wants nobody to take his place. And nobody can take his place. And he knows that. He created us. And there's no other to go to. Amen. The devil has no alternative that's any good. Only God. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. It's sad, but some people love darkness and do not wish to come to light. Some people love doing what they're doing and enjoy the pleasures of sin that only last for a season. But in John 3:19, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And you know why they killed Jesus and led him to the cross? Part of it was because of jealousy and envy. And wherever Jesus went, when he opened his mouth and spoke, it brought light on their sinful living. Even Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, anything else you see. Amen. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Pardon the play on words, but they were sad, you see, because there was no resurrection. So life wasn't fair, you see. That's bad. Okay. But people love darkness rather than light, Jesus said. And that's the reason people don't like us at times. And society didn't like the name of Jesus to be spread throughout society because Christianity is exclusive. It allows no other religion at all. It's Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. And so that rules out Islam. It rules out Hinduism. It rules out every religion you can think of that's in the world today because Christ is the only way, truth, and life. But God loved you and I, and God sent light into the world that mankind could be saved. And God's not responsible for decisions people make. God created us with the power to decide on who we want to serve. In the book of Joshua, the last chapter, or the 25th chapter, 24:15, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice, a decision to serve the Lord. He and his family would. That's a decision we all must make. And so people loved darkness rather than light in John's day, Jesus' day as well. You know, what are we in love with today? Do we love darkness? Do we love sin? You know, people, you know, sin is enjoyable, or so many people wouldn't be sinning. But sin carries with it an awful consequence. And it may be fun for a while. But Moses in the Old Testament, he took upon himself to join with the children of Israel that enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because you see, all seasons end. And the pleasure of sin ends tragically and eternally. So let's live for God. Amen. Most of the people of today are happy with the watered-down, compromised gospel they hear. Many people, church people, are happy with false doctrines and false religions that abound today. They would just soon people stand in the pulpit and preach no cross, no self-denial, no crucifying the flesh, no restrictions whatsoever. That's what the world today wants. That's what many of the people in the church want. Church world, I speak of as a whole. Amen. But you know, Paul the apostle, before he was saved, he was bad. As a matter of fact, he called himself the chiefest of sinners. And he said, I blasphemed God, and I did it in ignorance and unbelief, and God forgave him and made him one of the greatest preachers ever. Praise the Lord. And so we know that to the point that he would write to the church at Galatia, and he would say, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, when Paul got saved, he died to his old life. He is a religious man. He's a Pharisee above all Pharisees. But he persecuted the church. And because he believed the church was wrong, until he had an encounter with God and saw light on the Damascus Road. But he could write to the church at Galatia and said, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer old Paul that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Furthermore, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. He realized that all the law he kept, he couldn't perfectly keep, that only Christ kept it, and only Christ in him could make him acceptable to the Father in heaven. Amen. And that's what the law does, the Old Testament law. It identifies sin. That makes us know what God thinks sin is, or what God says sin is. And so sin is defined by the law, and sin is breaking the law. That's what the identification of sin, definition of sin. So many are happy with just a form of religion. Or many are happy with not a religion at all. And most of these people are still staggering around, indulging themselves in the sins of this world, not caring where they will spend eternity. Let's ask ourselves the questions. Am I one of these that the Bible says would rather walk in confusion, chaos? Of course, if you desire to walk in darkness, that is your choice. But if you desire to walk in the light, that is a choice that God has given to you as well. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's move on now. It gets better. Progressive light points to Christ. Through Christ, there is light. Jesus came to a religious yet spiritually dark world. His own people, Jewish people, did not recognize him. John 1:11 says, he came to his own did not receive him, but to those who did receive him, he gave the authority to become the sons of God, children of God, through new birth. Not the Son equal him, but children of God by new birth, spiritual birth. And Jesus is preaching exposed hypocrisy and legalisms of the Pharisees and scribes powerfully. You will not find a more powerful chapter of scripture than that when Jesus talked so strongly in Matthew chapter 23. One of the most powerful verse scriptures that he laid out for the people there. In Matthew 23:13, he says, but woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, For you shut up heaven, the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who entered, who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. That line is said a number of times in this chapter. For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation or judgment. In other words, Jesus is saying, you go around and pray and act like you're praying in long robes around widows' houses and get them to will you all their inheritance, and you rob the kingdom of God. And you think because you make long prayers and wear long robes, Jesus said, you're a hypocrite and you'll receive greater condemnation. And so Jesus pointed out the legalisms of the Pharisees. And legalism is simply, by definition, made up religious rules to obtain righteousness. You can't do it. And they cannot produce God's righteousness, holiness, or purity. Many years ago, and a long years ago, before I was in the ministry, I knew this woman. It's not always a woman. Just as many men are guilty as women, so I'm not on anybody's side, okay. But the church that I began to be able to preach at some, that this woman, she wore no makeup and believed you just lost if you wore makeup. And she was 80-something years old then, and she told the new pastors, worst that come in, said, I don't believe you ought to wear makeup when you come to church. And the gracious pastor's wife said, I respect your opinion on that, but said, I don't believe that way, and I'm not going to live that way. And here this lady had raven black hair at age 80. So you knew there's a little bit of dye there somewhere. Man. One fellow said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Okay. But you know, that kind of theology saved no one as a legalism. That's what that was. That kind of theology saved no one, got no one to repent, accomplished nothing. Amen. But true light falls on the sinner. And Jesus, as he washed or walked in this life, he came across a woman who was caught in the midst of adultery. The Pharisees brought her to him and said, now under Moses' law, she should be stoned, but what do you say? And Jesus stooped and wrote on the ground. And people have tried to say what Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote on the ground. It didn't tell us what he wrote. Maybe he wrote some of their sins down on the ground. But this was obviously a setup. You know, what about the man? Both would be condemned to death in the Old Testament, not just the woman. And it takes two, you know. Anyway, you got it. And the woman was before Christ. And all of her accusers left, and she alone to trust Christ. And Jesus said, who condemns you? She said, no one, my Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and do just what you've been doing. No, he said, go and sin no more. And she left. Amen. Because light, true light, spiritual light fell upon her. Jesus mixed with people that the crowd, that none of the Pharisees and Sadducees had mixed with. He came along one day, and a man named Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus because he was short, but he was a rich short guy. Ladies, if you want to marry somebody that's tall and rich, it may be short, I don't know. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. And he said, I've got to see Jesus. And he was a tax collector, considered the worst of sinners. Man, because they collected taxes for the Roman government, and they were Jews who collected taxes for another nationality. Okay? And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down because I'm going to come to your house for lunch today. In so many words. And so he came down, and Zacchaeus ate with Jesus, and Jesus talked with him. After a time, Zacchaeus got under conviction. He said, Lord, I'm going to repay fourfold to anybody I've cheated in the tax world. You know they didn't come from the IRS, if you can say in that. But anyway, it came from Zacchaeus because he was chief tax collector and he was rich. And they got their riches from collecting more taxes than they were supposed to. And I won't get political there, but I could. He came down and he said, Lord, I restore. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. That's who Jesus, because spiritual light had dawned upon Zacchaeus, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ from that point. Amen. But you see, true spiritual light progresses to eternity as well. One day in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no spiritual darkness whatsoever, none at all. It progresses to a heavenly city. Perhaps it's a city that Abraham looked for. The Bible says that Abraham, all the time he was on this earth, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't see it in the day that he lived. He didn't see it in all of his lifetime, but I believe that one day when he died and went to heaven, or when Jesus came into paradise and transported paradise to heaven, that he saw that city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In Revelation 21:23, it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want to tell you something, friend. We're going to a city where the Lamb is the light. We're going to a city where there is no darkness of sin. We're going to a city that you has never been in this world. We're going to a place that God has prepared for us. Amen. And I know that it's a city where there will be eternal light, gospel light forever. Praise the Lord. And never, never enter that city anything that's sinful or wrong or things that will steal, kill, and destroy ever. The devil will be shut up, stuffed into the lake of fire forever. Those who have chose to receive Christ as a Savior will be with Him forever and ever in a city where the Lamb is the light. Wisdom is this. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell beneath. Praise God. Follow Jesus. 1 John 1:5, this is a message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen.